Okay, so about it then, we can now prepare for puja. So tonight we should get two to come and help to light up the candle and the incense. So yeah, you decide to. Yeah, yeah, Molly. Jin, yeah. Yeah. You are nominated to light the candle and the incense for puja, in preparation for puja. Come forward. Yeah, come. Yeah. Jin, come. You and Molly. Not a lighter. The blue color is a lighter. You light the incense. Just now I saw the flower. The flower not ready. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, we wait for the flower, then we can start the puja. You can be seated. Okay. The flower is here. So we can all stand. Get ready for puja. Come, let us stand. Okay, start with the tray. Sadhu, 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 sadhu sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you can be seated and yeah, compose our mind. To develop the faith, sadhā, then virya, then we will start the puja chanting. Arahaṃ sammā sambuddho bhagavā buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādemi. Svākāto bhagavata dhammo dhammaṃ namassāmi. Suppatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghaṃ namāmi. Okay, you can be seated and turn to page 1. We will commence our puja chanting. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Pāṇātipātā vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Adina dana veramani sikkha padang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchācāra veramani sikkha padang samadhiyami. Musāvādā veramani sikkha padang samadhiyami. Sura meraya maja pama datana veramani sikkha padang samadhiyami. Okay, we will now chant the padipa puja, offering of life. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddang pujayami tamonodang ganda sambarayutena dopenahang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyantang puja baca namutamang vanna ganda guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami monindasa siripada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kusumena nena punnena pattena ca hotu mokang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bhavang adivase tu no bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya Patigan hotu mutamang adivase tu novante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya Patigan hotu mutamang adivase tu novante bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya patikang hatu mutamang. Now we will do the aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind, to help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel of all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses of the fires of defilements. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtues, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of this bond of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas, powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the conditions and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang Pujemi. Dhammang pujemi. Sanghang pujemi. Okay, you can be seated, and we can have our meditation. Since everybody has been here before, we can start our meditation straight away so that we can save some more time. Okay, you can off the light and we can proceed. I will give you half an hour to develop the meditation. Then after that, I will ring the bell. Okay, you can proceed with your meditation. Those who need to train their mind, you can. Then those who already trained, you can just relax, silent, and meditate. Then if you still need the mind sweeping method to help you become peaceful and calm, you can use it, no problem. Then after that, stabilize this meditative mind or silent mind. You need to anchor it on an object of meditation like anapanasati or any chanting or mantra or dynamic movement or even your object of meditation that you are familiar with. You can use them. Then after that, stabilize it. Then use it to cultivate the daily mindfulness later on as you come out of the meditation. You have to maintain this mind state that you have trained. Okay, now I'll let you develop the meditation on your own. Okay, for those that still wants to meditate, you can continue. For those that have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Yeah. Try to maintain as long as you can, whatever inner peace, inner mindfulness, and inner awareness that you have developed. Mm. These are the meditative mind states that you need to train and develop this mind, so that it will have the ability to help you develop the mindfulness in daily life. We are here to develop the training of the mind, yeah, to be peaceful, to be silent, to be quiet, to be aware within. The silence must be accomplished with awareness within, silent clarity of mind. That is the meditative mind. Then, after you have trained this mind, you use it to meditate, to understand clearly how you function as a human being, how you develop the ability through your silent mind to see clearly the five aggregates of form and mind, how they, upon contact, develop the appropriate consciousness and discontent. Then how you function as a human being, how hearing consciousness come to be, seeing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile, and thought consciousness. Then when they arise upon contact, what follows? You will have the ability to see clearly all this movement. Then you can develop the understanding clearly. You can see all the essential Dhamma that arise and pass away within your own form and mind. You can even experience their conditioned arising state. Silent to develop the ability to understand clearly how all this movement of your mind, stirring of the mind, comes to be. Then ultimately you can trace the cause of your movement, how the mind without wisdom, without samadhi and the ability to be peaceful, become deluded, become heedless. So all this will bring about a lot of understanding in you. Then you can experience a lot of essential mind states which are mentioned by the Buddha in his teaching. The five aggregates of form and mind leading to the five spiritual faculties. Then the five mental hindrances, the three evil roots, the paticca-samuppada link, dependent origination, the four noble truths, seven factors of enlightenment. Then how you stir, how you react when you lack wisdom, when you lack stability of mindfulness to cope with life. Then how your views, opinion condition you to behave in certain way. So all this is part of meditation. What you need is the deep awareness leading to heedfulness. To be heedful, to be ever mindful, to cultivate the understanding of the Buddha Dhamma, to awaken to the three universal characteristics, then to cultivate the four noble, the three turnings of the four noble truths, leading to the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path. Okay, now we will continue with our chanting. Turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. I will read the English translation. In this universe, in the entirety, let the dainties or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrines of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine.
Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Munirajasa Sunantu Sagga Mokkhadang Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vijacarana Sampanno Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manosana Buddho Bhagavati Swagato Bhagavata sanditiko akaliko ehipaseko opanaiko pachapang weditabo vinoheti supatipanno bhagavato sāvakasāṅgho ujjhopatipanno bhagavato sāvakasāṅgho yāyāpatipanno bhagavato sāvakasāṅgho icchīpatipanno bhagavato sāvakasāṅgho yatitang chattari purisa yokkani ata purisa pugala esa bhagavato sāvakasāṅgho ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkhineyo anjali karaniyo anuttarang puñyaketang lokasati. Okay, let us pay respect to Tripajam. Vedang pujami Dhammang pujami Sanghang pujami. Okay, you can be seated and we can continue with our second session, reporting of meditation followed by Q&A. You can ask me whatever question that you have in mind, preferably anything related to your meditation or the Dhamma, and how to apply all this teaching that you have learned to live life, to develop the understanding of life. Okay, now we open it up. Anybody would like to share their meditation experience or report your meditation? This will help. Anybody? As usual, all very shy. Or is there anybody who wants to ask any question? Or suggest any topic that you may want to develop the understanding? You can ask. Anybody? Nobody. Then what you want me to say? Oh, share. I'm sure you must have something that you want to understand. So just put up your hand. We'll pass you the mic. Or you want me to pick? We ask Jane. You got any question? Or you want to report your meditation? Pass the mic to her. Yeah. Sister Jane, yeah. Yeah.
Brother Teo?
Yes.
Can you please explain a bit detail about the Paticca Samuppada?
Oh, okay. Which aspect of Paticca Samuppada that you cannot understand? Because the whole dependent origination is quite long. So which aspect you really want me to clarify for you? Or what we should do is, what is your understanding of Paticca Samuppada?
To me,
that would be better.
According to my understanding,
yes.
That means every before a new thought arises, that means they are linked, is it? Are they...
This is how the Buddha explained. You see, according to the Buddha, your mind function in a particular way. It follows this law, which we call the nature's law, law of dependent origination. That's why we call it the 12 link, or paticca samuppada. So it's called dependent origination. Dependent on this, this arise. Then dependent on that, another link arise. So it's dependent originating. That's why the first link, the Buddha say, is due to your ignorant delusion. You familiar with the 12 link, isn't it? First one is what? Avijja. What is avijja? Ignorant. So the Buddha said, dependent on ignorant arises sankhara. What is sankhara? No, that is what they translate. What exactly is that? What is that link? Avijja, paccaya, sankhara. Otherwise you won't learn. So I realize a lot of cultivator, a lot of so-called Buddhists or meditator, they get trapped in Dhamma, Dhamma words, Dhamma knowledge. They cannot penetrate the teaching because they follow the text. They repeat what people tell them. Avijja paccaya sankhara. Sankhara mental activity. So avijja is ignorant. So depending on how ignorant arises, mental activity. Now, what is a mental activity? They don't know. According to your understanding, the Pali word is more important. Avijja paccaya sankhara. I take this out. Because today we should develop clearer understanding. Avijja paccaya sankhara. What is sankhara? You call mental activity, but is sankhara just mental activity? It's more than that. So in the English translation, they use a lot of words. One is mental activity. What else? Mental formation. Then? Mental volition. What is volition? Mental intention. Then? Mental states. Then? Some more. What else? What else? No, that one is under mental states. Mental states are all your emotions, positive and negative, like your peacefulness of mind, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation. All these are your mental states, but you call it emotion. That's why they say you are very emotional. Means what? You become sad, you become unhappy very fast, and you have negative emotion. But when you have good feeling, good mental state, when you have joy, when you have happiness, when you have peacefulness of mind, you don't say emotion in there. You say you are very peaceful, you have good mind states. Then they classify it as wholesome and unwholesome. So all this also never define completely what sankhara is. So because the text say this way, you have to understand it. That's why you have to go into it. Just like greed, hatred, and delusion, the three evil roots. Why is it called evil roots? Is greed just greediness? Because the Pali word is lobha. Not the lobha you eat. loba is selfishness or greediness, then all of your covetousness, craving, desire, like, attachment, grasping, clinging, craving, they are all part of greed. So the meaning is very deep. What is it? You want them to off the light? Oh, okay. So similarly, the other two evil roots of hatred. Hatred is not just getting angry. You hate that person. The evil root is more than that. All of your envy, jealousy, dislike, unhappy feeling, they are all part of the evil roots of hatred. Yeah. Then delusion. Delusion is not just self-delusion, sakkayaditti or what, although it came from there. Delusion actually is not understanding the truth. Then mainly self-delusion, because you mistaken the five aggregate of form and mind to be you. That's why you think you exist. That's why there is fear, there is worry, there is anxiety, there is sorrow and lamentation. All this comes from delusion. Yeah. So delusion is very powerful. Because of delusion, you will have greed. You will have the evil roots of hatred, insecurity, heedlessness. All this come from delusion, born of sakkayaditti, self-delusion. So avijja is a bigger animal. Within avijja, sakkayaditti, self-delusion, is just a small part of avijja. Avijja is ignorant, ignorant of the way things are, ignorant of all truth in nature. So likewise, sankhara, this word is often used by the Buddha. You must understand this word. So the Buddha always used sabbe sankhara anicchang. All of sankhara is impermanent. Sabbe sankhara dukkhang. All of sankhara, if you are deluded, you grasp, you cling, you hold, it gives rise to craving, which is a cause of suffering. That's why all of sankhara leads to suffering. Then sabbe dhamma anatta. Sometimes they use the word sabbe sankhara anatta though. But dhamma includes the conditioned and the unconditioned. That's why even beyond the conditioned world, it is still anatta. So now you have to understand this word. So mental activity means activity is movement, is there? Can follow or not? Means all your mental thinking, your mental planning, scheming, your mental processes, these are all activity of mind. It's part of sankhara. Then as you think, you make contact with the mind, understand not? Then what happened? Mind is an organ. Upon contact, what happened? Huh? Like the light bulb light up. What happened? You become conscious of the mental consciousness, isn't it? This mental consciousness arises due to what? Your views, your opinion, and your conditioning. That's why you input the content of consciousness into the pure awareness or pure consciousness and create a thought. That's why it's called a mental consciousness. So this mental consciousness, within there, you have your like and dislike, or kusala and akusala, your mental intention born of your mental conditioning, your views and your opinion. That's why depending on who you are, what mind state you have, you will input that content. So when that content went in, it makes you emotional. Then it brings about formation of mind. You form within the mind mental images and all those things. Whatever you come to perceive, visualize and all those things. Then you also have within it mental intention. Your mental intention is born of your craving, your like and your dislike. That's why you intend to do what and do what. So all this is the whole of the content of consciousness within the mind. That's why Sankara is actually the content of consciousness. Everything that your mind can do is Sankara. So the five aggregate of form and mind, you got Vedana, Sanya, Sankara. These three actually is one, Sankara. Because Sankara got 52. You study in Abhidhamma, you will know it includes the first two aggregate of feeling and perception. Then the last one is Vijnanang. Vijnanang is like a receptacle, the pure container before you input the content. The pure awareness before the knowing is just the ti, where. But the moment you input the content, yeah, it becomes a thought. But before the content went in, there is just a pure consciousness. That's why the Buddha said, in the seeing is only the seeing consciousness. It's just that consciousness before the content went in. But the moment you perceive what you see and your mind still and react through your views and opinion, that's how the content of consciousness went in. And that is what Sankara is all about. But because in the teaching, people cannot explain the 12 links. So they come and adopt what the commentary say. The commentary say, this dependent origination occur over three lifetimes. It's very popularly accepted, even in the, what they call, Visuddhimagga, yeah? The seven stages of purification, that book is written by Buddhaghosa, not Buddhadasa, Venerable Buddhaghosa. He is actually a Brahmin by training. He studied the Hindu religion. Then later on, he went and studied the Buddha Dhamma. He became very good. Then when he did the commentaries, he incorporated a lot of Hindu teaching. Yeah. As theory, is very good, not bad. He very detailed, he read the 40 meditation object and all those things, the jhana. But the real teaching are not what is written there, because a lot are based on his Hindu teaching or Hindu influence. The Bhagavad Gita and even the their Hindu teaching. So what we are having here is they couldn't explain all these links. So they come out with this explanation. He said, dependent on ignorance, which is avijja, arises, they call this mental volition. Mental volition. Volition is mental intention, isn't it? Or they call it karmic volition. You know what is karmic, isn't it? Huh? Brings about karma. Karmic volition. So when there is karmic volition, means what? Karma. So it's like rebirth consciousness, understand not? Because this one is karma. He said the last thought moment, when you die, if there is ignorance, there is this karmic volition. That condition, rebirth consciousness. So the next link is what? Sankara pachya what? Sankara pachya? Vijnanang. So this is second link. This is third. What is Vijnanang? This is actually consciousness. But they translate as rebirth consciousness. You say like that, very easy to explain. Correct or not? Rebirth consciousness. So, rebirth consciousness, dependent on rebirth consciousness, condition what? What is the next link? Avijja paccaya sangha sangha paccaya vijnanang, vijnanang paccaya? Nama rupang. And what is this? This is the human being. Remember? This is the first aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind. Can follow? Yeah? This is the human being. Then they say, very easy to explain the dependent origination. Next one is nama rupa paccaya salayatana. He said, because the human being is born, there is a sixth sense basis. So this is the sixth sense basis. Then dependent on the sixth sense basis, the sense basis, condition one, the next one. Huh? Contact, huh? Contact. Passat is contact, huh? Number five, come to number six. Huh? Passat. Or contact. Dependent on contact arise what? Huh? This is Vijanang. Sorry. Vedana. Thank you. Vedana is feeling. Then dependent on feeling arise what? Huh? Tangha. Craving. Huh? Tangha. Craving. Then dependent on craving arise what? Grasping, upadana. This is craving. Grasping. Then after that, becoming. Depending on upadana. Becoming, number 10. Becoming is bhava. Bhava. So this is becoming. So dependent on becoming, birth, jati. Birth. So this is 11. So this is birth. Then they say next life, understand not? So you become, then you take birth again. Then arise the whole mess of suffering. Dukkha, marana, and all those things. So the whole mess of suffering. This is how they explain. This is in the text. Very traditional. And everybody seems to agree to this. So this is number 12. So that's how the dwelling. So the Buddha said there is this dependent origination. The Pali word is correct, but the interpretation is wrong. So if this is the paticca samuppada taught by the Buddha, my question is very simple. No use. I study it for what? Knowledge. Because it only happened once over three lifetimes. Can follow on, After you die, After you die during ignorance, you create karmic volition or mental volition, then you are born into this world. Then this rebirth consciousness condition the first aspect of the human being, namarupang. Then because the human being is born, the sense basis arise. And because sense basis arise, dependent on that, there is contact with the senses. And because of contact, they say, you can feel. Then when you feel, you don't have wisdom. You need so manasikara at the point of feeling, at the moment of sense experience. You will develop craving, tangha, your like and dislike. Then when you develop craving, he say, if you don't have stability of wisdom and understanding, this craving will condition you to grasp. Initially, there is desire to have another. Then they say you really grasp that means you must have it like a child. Don't buy for him or her, cry already. Then what happens is they become that thing. So like your anger, your craving, your desire, like those people who want to rape people, understand? They become that lust, understand? Becoming. Then you are born into it, means transgression. You become that rapist, understand? So you become that lustful character. then you take birth, means transgression. You take birth and do the thing, the action. This is called transgression. Then because of that, the whole mess of suffering arises. Then after that, he say, you die again. Then you come back to this. So if it's only occurring once over three lifetimes, no point. So for those who meditate and who develop the understanding, they realize dependent origination is not like that, like you mentioned. Every moment, it is there. So what went wrong was they couldn't explain this part, and this part. That's why they come out with this. So when they explain it this way, the Dhamma is lost. What the Buddha meant is it dependent or ignorant or avijja? What is avijja? What is avijja? Ignorant or what? True. You don't have right view. That's why you don't understand the truth. The right view with regards to law of karma, you don't understand. Right view with regards to how you function as a human being, how your mind works, you don't understand dependent origination. Then right view with regards to the Four Noble Truths, the secret of life, the reality of life and existence, the cause of suffering within life and existence. And you fail to understand that without wisdom, you cannot free. Then suffering need not be, you have the wisdom and the understanding of this nature's law that governs life and existence. That's why we call it right view. So your lack of right view give rise to ignorance. Ignorance of the truth means you don't understand. When you don't understand, what do you do? Wanting to know, wanting to understand, what do you do? You go to school, what the teacher tell you? Go back and think. So this avijja paccaya sankhara is mental activity, thinking. Understand or not? Can follow? Do you understand? So this is thinking. When you think, what do? You make contact with the mind. Your mind is an organ, understand or not? So like this, physical experiment. What happens when you make contact? This light bulb, they will light up, isn't it? So when you make contact with your eye, that is seeing consciousness. And this one don't need a human being inside the anasara. It's all functioning following nature's law, science. So physically, mentally, we function the same way. Upon contact with the respective sense organ, the consciousness arises. That's why it lights up. So when you think, means you make contact with the mind as an organ, then this mind creates mental consciousness. That's why you are conscious of what you think. Can follow? That's why initially, like the Buddha said, in the seeing, it's only the seeing consciousness. So in the mind, thinking is only the thought consciousness. So this is thought consciousness. Thought consciousness. Then what happened? Dependent or ignorant arises mental activity or mental thinking. Then this one creates thought consciousness. Now you can follow. Like this one. Then thought consciousness create the mental five aggregate of form and mind. Understand? This is the second aspect. This is the second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind. And this is the one occurring moment to moment. Upon contact, when this one becomes conscious, after you perceive whatever you are thinking, then your views and opinion goes in. Understand? Like and dislike. So when you put in your views and opinion, this one becomes the five aggregate of form and mind, which is consciousness and its content. Now you follow? this part can follow na. Before you input the content, it's just pure thought consciousness without content. But after you perceive and through your views and opinion, you put it in, this is how the namarupa, which is the second aspect of form and mind. This is the first aspect. This is the second aspect. This is the mental five degree of form and mind. When this one arises, the Buddha said, dependent on this, there must be sense basis. Without sense basis, consciousness cannot come about. Namarupang, the five aggregate of form and mind, the second aspect cannot come about. That's how this link come about. Then dependent on sense basis arises contact. But they didn't understand that dependent on origination is multidimensional. So this contact occur at every link. The first link, avijja paccaya sankhara, here is already also got contact. That's why ignorant contact create delusion. So this contact, that's why you study in Abhidhamma, upon contact, all the seven universal arise simultaneously. Why they call it the seven universal? Because it is a universal mind state that is common to all consciousness. For consciousness to arise, this seven thing must be there. The first one is contact. And when there is contact, there is feeling. That's why these are the universal before it condition craving. Then what other thing inside the universal? You must perceive, isn't it? Perception. Then there must be ekakata, one-pointedness. Then there must be what they call manasikara. You know what is manasikara or not? Yeah? Attention. So then there is this what they call life force from your karmic, what they call supportive karma. That's why there must be this life force. They call it jitrivina or don't know what, I forgot the Pali word already. So all these seven, they form the universal within the consciousness. That's why all this connect. Then upon contact, the same thing also happen here. Here also contact, we are universal. So contact, ignorant contact, condition, activity of mind that has delusion. If there is no ignorant, what happened? This link cease to be, and so on. So when this link cease to be, what happened to you? If you got less avijja, means you have straightened your view. You are less deluded. You have more and more right view. That's why you straighten your view. When you straighten your view, less avijja means upon contact, less delusion, less heedlessness, less thinking. That's why this particular link is weakened. When you weaken the first two links, avijja paccaya sankhara weaken, you think less. That's why the progress of meditation is less thinking, more aware, less activity of mind, you are less heedless, less lost in thought, you are most of the time aware with the moment. That's how you transform your mind. Otherwise, this one will make you heedless, but this one will make you think a lot. And after you think, what happened? Because of delusion, ignorance, you stir your mind. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijñānang, vijñānang paccaya namarupang. Then because of namarupang, sense basis must be there. Then there is contact, then you condition feeling. Initially, feeling is just pure feeling. But because you don't have wisdom, you only so manasikara, you cannot cut. It was straight away conditioned craving, tanha. That's why that day Pratapang say, very fast, straight away. After see the craving there already, how come this link moves so fast? It's not fast. It's because you don't have sati. You don't have mindfulness. You are not stable. in your cultivation. Your spiritual faculty is not there. If your spiritual faculty is there, all these links, you can see them. I can be at the moment of activity of mind, sankhara. When the mind starts to move, think or do whatever, then at the moment of contact, the mind can be there. Then at the moment of feeling, it can stay there, no movement. Then because there is no movement, feeling remains as pure feeling. That's why the arahant, they don't have craving. Their aggregates of mind are pure. It's non-grasping. That's why the puttajana, the normal living being, their aggregates of form and mind is grasping. They call it the grasping aggregate. And the Buddha summarized all of suffering as the upadana khandas, born of self-delusion. You grasp, you cling. So now you can follow. Huh? All these links will go. Then this one happened very fast. Sometimes the link doesn't finish. Avijja paccaya sankhara very fast. Then sankhara paccaya vijñānaṃ namarūpaṃ very fast. Then the contact also very fast. Actually, it's contact straight away thinking. Contact, perceive, think. Then all these reactions, stirring of like and dislike, they arise and they happen. Okay? Can follow? This is how you function as a human being. And you cannot see this in your meditation. It's very difficult to understand. That's why people memorize. And they argue with you. You say, all the book, all the authorities say, over 3 periods of time. So, you can understand very easily all this. Because it can be explained. Their problem is, they can't explain this first 4 or 5 links. Especially the first 4 links. They give up. That's why they come out with this theory, coming volition. This one is not wrong. This one is, the explanation is one of the answers. One of the answers means what? Happened 1/3 lifetime. I studied this type of dependent origination for what? It only happened 1/2 or 3 lifetime. I myself don't look at it. Because this is theory to me. Rebirth consciousness. Is before you die, if you don't have wisdom, you cannot parinibbana, you cannot realize nibbana. So he said, you got ignorant, it conditioned karmic volition. Karmic volition, conditioned rebirth, consciousness. Oh, then you say very logical, this must be the correct teaching. Then rebirth consciousness, condition the first aspect of the 5 aggregate form of mind, which is namarupang, the form of mind, the human being. This one born already. Okay? Born already, come into existence already. Because of this, you say the sense basis is there. And then you function, contact, feeling, all things. Then after that, you die again, take birth. That's why over 3 lifetimes. So all this, if you don't understand, you become gullible. You believe them. But what did the Buddha say? Don't believe even what he say. He asked you to investigate. That's why when I meditate about 30 years ago, I realize it's not what the book say. But I can see the link. I can be with the moment of all this link. Then I realize this is not the teaching. That's why finally I came out with the explanation myself. Until today, you go and check all the book. They cannot explain it this way. But Ajahn Buddhadasa, not bad. The one in Samok, my teacher's teacher. He also knew the 3 periods of time wrong. He also talked about this type of dependent origin. But he cannot explain this. He cannot explain this the way I explain. He just know that all these are mind moments that happen every moment and every instant of consciousness. He said it's not what they say. So to him is he straight away used this sankhara as sankhara. But he cannot use the light bulb thing to explain the pure awareness, the thought consciousness, the pure awareness, then input the content of this. He never explained that. Because to him, sankhara is inclusive of all this. Then he is more interested in the contact and beyond. How feeling, condition, craving. That's why he teach in the one of his book, the Handbook of Mankind, I think it's translated in English. He used this Pali word. I forgot already. He said, finally, you must not have craving. He said, the moment you have craving, you are caught already. He said, nothing can be held on to. You must not be deluded by anything you see within the phenomenal world. And he always said, they are not real. Condition arising, dependent originating, which was not bad actually for a monk to dare to come out and speak. Yeah, he was the one of the very, very few monks. I only know that he speak against that Buddha Ghosa, the commentary. He dared to say the commentary to him is not correct. He said those are the commentaries. But according to him, he said, it cannot be this way. That's why you read my first book on the Paticca Samuppada, I quoted him. You got that book in there. The first copy of the Paticca Samuppada, the yellow color. No, blue color one, I think. Either blue color or the other. Yellow. There are two types. The first type is yes, this one. I read to you. This is very good. Ajahn, you can take this and read later. You say this was based on a talk that I delivered in the year 2005. 8th of September, based on a direct transcript from the recorded talk as given on the 8th of September 2005 by Brother Teo. So at that time we were at this Vipassana Center, the old building in section 17 above Kanan. So I delivered this. So here in the acknowledgement I mentioned, acknowledgement is the same, it's the donor or Kayanamita's intention that this Dhamma transcript not be given free to all who are interested, and as such we would like to take this opportunity to sincerely thank and rejoice in their generosity and wholesomeness. Then also to all those Dhamma friends who has helped out in one way or other in the typing, transcripting, printing of the script, typesetting, script formatting and enhancing, proofreading, etc., to make this free distribution of Dhamma Dana possible. At that time, Cindy Lim, the one in Thailand, Mosit wife, he was one of our Kayanamita friend, the early batch. She was the one who was very good in computer. She did this very first transcript book. That's why she very good at PowerPoint. Then we did this one. Then I read to you the preface. This one is more important. Cindy was very good for her skill in doing up the typesetting, formatting, script paragraphing, and enhancing work. She was the one who put in the subtitles, subheading, all things to make this transcript possible for a clearer and deeper understanding of the law of dependent origination as taught by the Buddha. Then the preface. This Dhamma discussion transcript was based on the recorded talk as given by Brother Teo on the 8th of September 2005 at PJ Slengo Buddhist Vipassana Meditation Society to a group of Dhamma friends on the central teaching of Lord Buddha, Paticca Samuppada, or the law of dependent origination. Paticca Samuppada is a very profound teaching, said the Buddha to Venerable Ananda. So profound in fact, that most cultivators are not able to truly develop the penetrative understanding of the law of dependent origination. Then as per Buddhadasa, Bhikkhu Buddhadasa's comment, Paticca Samuppada, which is the heart of the Buddha's teaching, is difficult to understand and even more difficult to see clearly. See, the direct seeing. Except via the direct seeing, born of the free and silent mind. And thus Buddhadasa Bhikkhu had said, it has been the center of grave misunderstanding, distortion, and misinterpretation. According to Buddhadasa Bhikkhu, much of the Theravadan orthodox tradition comes about due to the adherence to Venerable Buddha Gosa's explanation of the Paticca-samuppada covering over three lifetimes, the past, present, and future. Ignorant and volitional activity or karmic volition in the past life give rise to this present life, in which the result of those past deeds are experienced. This process then conditions our present life defilement, craving, and grasping, which in turn leads to birth and suffering in a future life. According to Buddhadasa Bhikkhu, this type of interpretation of the Paticca-samuppada is not practical and is contradictory to the Buddha's teaching of anatta and the Dhamma being sandhitical. Not practical in the sense that the three period of time or lifetime explanation is of not much use to practitioner because it only occurs over a span of three lifetimes. Once over a span of three lifetimes. To teach the Paticca-samuppada as occurring over three lifetimes also imply the existence of a permanent unchanging entity or soul or a being that passes from one life to the next, hence contradicting the Buddha's teaching with regards to anatta. And if the cause of suffering are in one lifetime and the result in another, then how are we to realize the Dhamma in the here and the now, sandhitical? Definitely the Buddha will not teach this type of Paticca-samuppada. That's why Bhikkhu Buddhadasa Acham Buddhadasa, he was very good. Hence, the correct explanation of Paticca-samuppada as taught by the Buddha via the direct seeing or experience is very important. For those who have developed a very stable daily mindfulness, the Paticca-samuppada link can be experienced every now and then via every moment of sense door consciousness or every moment of mental activity or arising of the mind. And it is linked to Dhammanupassana's second and third category of practice involving mindfulness with regards to the five aggregates of form and mind and the six internal and six external sense bases as taught by the Buddha via his Satipatthana Sutta or the four foundation of mindfulness practices. It is in this light that Brother Theo sincerely hope that Dhamma and spiritual practitioner, cultivator, seekers, friends and meditator can make use of this Dhamma transcript note to develop a better and true understanding of Paticca-samuppada as taught by Lord Buddha, so that they may progress along the path of Dhamma to become more virtuous, noble, and wiser living being, to benefit themselves and others. With metta always, and may all beings be well and happy, and may they too be free from all suffering. Then you can go through. Inside here, there is a lot of good explanation. I talk about the 12 links, understanding the law of dependent origination. Then what is ignorant? Means not understanding the truth. Then the five aggregate of form and mind leading to self-delusion, sakkayaditti. Then first characteristics of nature, impermanence. Second characteristics of nature, dukkha. Third characteristics of nature, anatta, non-self or empty nature. Then how to actually develop the wisdom, straighten your view, and cease all craving and attachment. Then desire too will also subside. Then understanding the actual 12 link. Then arising of right view through the cultivation of the four foundation of mindfulness. Then how suffering can cease. Then the three type of peace. Kaya vivika, citta vivika, leading to upadi vivika. Then the appendix showing clearly the chart of dependent origination. So at the back, there is this chart in a circle form showing the dwelling and explanation. Then the notes here at the last page is very important. You read, then you understand. Then what I explained here is all in this book. Except just now I summarize for you all. Because as cultivator, you should be able to understand by now. Last time when I first share, they cannot understand. Before my transcript come out, everybody was looking at me. Just with awe, don't understand what is going on. It took quite a while. Then later on, as the sharing go on, more and more people ask this question. So if you really develop a very stable mindfulness, you can see this link, you can understand it very clearly. Then after that, you don't have to remember on it. No need to remember. You know how it works on, how it functions on. Then straight away, that's why I don't have to see the book or what. I can explain to you anytime. Anytime you ask me, anywhere, any place, I can explain straight away. But it's not from memory. It's an understanding that comes about through the direct seeing, the cultivation. Okay? Can follow, If you're not sure, you can still ask. This one may be difficult for those who are new, especially Amiel. I think she won't follow. Can follow, Amiel? Ah, good. A little bit is very, very good. Because you sell them. Pass the mic for the recording, Miao, you don't mind.
It could still be that my ignorance. Because when you first mentioned this, explaining to this lady in front on.
Sister Jane.
Jane, and you were mentioning that you say the English
translation is
not so correct. Is this the book that you are printing? Why don't you make it correct?
No, I already amended it.
Yeah, that's an amended version.
This is an amended version.
Okay.
Last time one, the Pali word is the same, but the interpretation was out. Mm-hmm. Commentary was out. That's why they have the traditional way of explaining over the three lifetime. And that one is a very logical one. That's why. Whatever that is logical, I always say you have to be careful.
Just that the Pali word is,
More difficult for you to understand because you are new. You are very new.
Chantings are all,
got translation there.
But anyway, they are also beautiful language. Difficult to kind of grasp the thing.
Correct. Yeah. Initially, yeah. Thank you. Push it down all the way. Okay. Any question regarding the dependent origination? Anybody still don't quite understand? You can still ask which particular part. By now it should be more clear. Okay, then the next one. Any more question? Whatever that you may want to understand, to develop clearer understanding, you can ask. Actually, I prefer you to report your meditation, don't be shy. You don't report, I cannot advise you, and you all may not be able to learn, because what you do, you are so secretive, so nobody can advise you. But if you report exactly how you do your meditation, no need to, must be right and all those things. And then I can advise you, I can let you know where you got stuck and where you go wrong. Okay, we open up to the floor again. Next time you are shy, you write on a piece of paper. Don't have to put your name. Then I can just read. Or when you have any question while at home, you make a note somewhere, then Thursday class or Tuesday class or Sunday class, you bring, then you pass it to the front, then I can read them out for you. Okay, we still got half an hour. Oh, today, a lot of time. Any more question or topic that you want to develop further understanding? Do you all know how to develop the cultivation by now? If you are not sure, you can still ask. Have you all really reflect and contemplate deep into the Dhamma? Phase 1, Pariyatti, the learning of the teaching. Have you all grasped that thing? If you are not grasped that thing, it's very difficult to cultivate, because you do your cultivation without stability or understanding. When you understand that first phase of Dhamma, Pariyatti, clearly, then you know how to start. You are not deluded, and you will not be gullible like other people. They come, they sit, they think, they meditate. Actually, if you are not clear of the cultivation, you are actually wasting your time sitting there doing things that you don't understand. You may become more peaceful, more calm, feel good. But most people, when they come, they do the sitting. Actually, they are torturing themselves, making themselves miserable. Seldom do they have the peace of mind. It's only certain time or certain moments when they have the faith, sadhavirya. Then they listen attentively. Then they do their religious routine. And then they come here, they can sit. And here they find it easier to sit because the group collective consciousness and the Buddha Rupang's pure energy together with the higher being's collective consciousness and my nature's energy will actually make your sitting a lot easier. Then you can like meditate very easily. And many people told me that when they go home, they cannot. They find it so difficult. But if you really put in your perseverance and sincerity and faith, do your religious routine, develop your own daily mindfulness, contemplation, the first turning, second turning, and three turning, third turning, cultivation, you will be able to do it even while at home. All these are possible. Okay, now, anybody wants to create condition for Dhamma? Yes, pass the mic to PG.
Brother Tu?
Yes.
I have been learning, reading a lot and all that. So spending time reading really helps, especially if you go two or three times. Each time you read seems to be
different understanding.
Deeper understanding.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the stage of reflecting and contemplation, I would say that I still do not really know how to do it.
Many cultivators fail to understand that. So your question is, you want to understand how to actually do contemplation.
You were explaining in the car. Do we? I remember you were saying that it's not during the meditation that you do it. It's like when you, especially when you have a more calm mind. That you like ask yourself certain questions.
Inquiry.
And from there.
You develop the understanding.
Could you please explain a little bit more on understanding of everybody?
Thank you. Thank you so much for the rather good question. We are just in the car while we were traveling here. We had some discussion. Then there were conditions for this to arise. Because last Sunday class, I think after the meditation, somebody came and talked to me and discussed the practice to me. That's why this particular person has meditated quite long. Then when she came and discussed with me, she thought she was doing it right. Then she described to me, he said, initially when she said, she still need to like train her mind, because otherwise the heedless thinking still there. She still cannot actually do away with it. Then after that she say, after she do all this like anapanasati or whatever, then she can become more mindful with it. Then she can see her mind state, the movement and all those things. Then I look at her, I say, do you really understand what are you doing or not? Then she look back at me. Then I explain to her, I say, you have to start from square one. What did the Buddha say? When you still have heedless thinking, when you cannot be with the moment in silent awareness to develop the meditation. Then she recall, because of the five mental hindrance. Yes, because of the five mental hindrance. So what is the problem? And mental hindrance are there because of what? Then only she recall the five spiritual faculty. Very good, I say. Then what must you do? You're supposed to stabilize the spiritual faculty. That's why every puja, what did we did? The aspiration. We invoke the power of this offering for causes and conditions, for our spiritual faculty to stabilize and become powers, balas. So this is what you aspire for, and you don't work towards it. You should reflect and contemplate and build up your sadhana. Then it will drive you to cultivate virya. Then do your sati. I say you just do your bowing, do your daily mindfulness, silent and relax your mind. You need to do the mind sweeping method to decondition the heedless thinking too. Then after that, stabilize. Don't try to know. Don't go and do the so-called vipassana. That is all thought-based. Then only she realize where she go wrong. You are still describing to me, you can see the craving, the desire. All these are theory, I say. Before your mind develop the stability of mindfulness, you cannot do the four foundation of mindfulness. You remember what is mentioned in the Satipatthana Sutta not? After overcoming covetousness and grief, then only you start. Means you must have the initial wisdom so that this major covetousness and grief, getting unhappy, sorrowful, all this no more. Then only you cultivate Satipatthana Sutta. Then only you can progress. Otherwise, before that, there is no way. All are thought-based, Dhamma-based, theoretical. Very, very theoretical, scholarly type. Then you are wasting your time and all those things. So I say, what you need to do is, when the sati come, you will know. Then you just cultivate. Don't try to know. Then the direct seeing, the awakening will happen by itself. Then the Dhamma will fall into play, not through memory. So these are very important. Then later on, she asked me about, I asked her that question, do you do contemplation, the second turning? Because second turning contemplation is very important. That's why my teacher told me, we choose contemplate until very, very clear. And that is the stability of it, the second turning wisdom. Initially, after you have read about the teaching, you heard the proclamation or the Dhamma sharing, then you have to reflect and contemplate deep into it so that you can stabilize the understanding and assimilate them in. Then it set the base for you to receive through, so that later on, during your daily mindfulness or cultivation, any of the first, second or third turning can trigger awakening. And this is how you must understand it. That's why I say pariyati is very important. So when you understand, it's very easy to cultivate. If I still got heedless thinking, means my spiritual faculty is not there. I have to work on it. Then I work on it. I don't try to do all those funny things. Then when I work on it, I strengthen it, then my sati is there, then I stabilize it until it becomes samadhi. This is how Mahayana people do also. They chant until the chanting and the awareness become one. And when they call upon the Buddha's name or the Bodhisattva's name, like Kuan Yin Kuan Yin Pusa. Because their faith is very strong, they have faith in Kuan Yin. Or, Amitofo, Amitofo, Amitofo. So when you recite that Buddha's name or that Bodhisattva's name, that faith, because of your affinity with them, become very strong. Then as you develop that faith, that sadha will trigger the virya for you to continuously recite and chant mindfully. Then when sadha, virya and sati come together, it will stabilize and develop samadhi. Then when sati and samadhi is there, you can see things as they are. That's how they develop wisdom. They can have the direct seeing. Then after that, they can understand the sutta during the chanting. But you have to chant with clarity of mind, with awareness, with sati. Chant with understanding. That's why when you pay respect, Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. You must understand the meaning. Because this is salutation to the Buddha. Arahang, he is the Arahant. He is a Samma Sambuddha. As I Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava, he is the Bhagava, blessed one, blessed with virtue and wisdom. Then Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi, I go for refuge. I pay my respect. Then after that you chant, Namo Tassa Bhagavato, means every word as you come out, you are not repeating and parroting. You understand. Namo is homage to thee, the blessed one, the worthy one, the fully enlightened one. Then you repeat. Then after that, Buddhang Saranang Gacchami, your whole nature recite. To the Buddha, I go for refuge. This nature go for refuge. You must feel it. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami, to the Dhamma. Not every time like become a tape recorder. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Then sometimes chant until you forgot also. Because you are not mindful when you chant. You don't have the understanding. That's why when you do, your understanding is different. So all these are part and parcel of the cultivation. Then how you rejoice, how you develop mindfulness when you make the puja offering, you hold on to the thing mindfully, then you rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, inside the heart, you feel it. You really rejoice. Rejoice in what? In the wholesomeness of people, the generosity of people, in their faith, in their ability to develop all this wholesomeness, then in your own understanding, then you rejoice with their generosity and all those things, then you rejoice all the Kayanamita who have the understanding and the wholesomeness of mind to create such wholesome condition when we meditate, so that this whole area become different, charged with that type of wholesome thought energy, mind energy, and spiritual energy. Then the devas, Dhamma protector, they will know, they will rejoice. Then they will also join in. That's why we invite them. So all these are very wholesome, very beautiful. And it will actually enhance your cultivation and make you progress very fast. So these are the ones that bring about the real transformation. Your spiritual faculty must come. Then mindfulness must be stabilized. These are more important than doing all those funny meditation. Jnana, jhana, all those things. You can experience all this beautiful mind state later on when your spiritual faculty is there. And you can be with the moment just silent, relax into every mind state. And to do that, you have to be very, very mindful. And your mind has to have a lot of clarity. That's why you can just actually relax into every mind state, even while you're asleep. The clarity is there, and the awareness is there. That's why you become very mindful, very aware throughout the day. If you don't do this, you can never be heedful in the midst of life. Then, the importance of contemplation, the second turning that PG asks, is to weaken your avijja, your wrong view, your self-delusion. That's why the Bodhisattva practices all is for this. How do you weaken? Well, as you contemplate and reflect, as you understand, you straighten your view. You are no longer deluded. Like I gave the example to them. How do you contemplate? How do you reflect? Like first, noble truth. Noble truth of suffering. The Buddha proclaimed the first noble truth. Birth, old age, sickness and death is suffering, the Buddha said. To be separated from your loved one and your possession is suffering. When you cannot get what you want is suffering. When you are with people whom you don't like is suffering. Then in short, due to your self-delusion that condition you to grasp and cling and hold on to your five aggregate of form and mind deludedly is suffering. That's why he said, Upadana Khandas, the five aggregates of grasping, they are suffering. So this is the first turning the Buddha proclaimed. Then you want to understand deeper. That's why you go to the second turning. That's why in the transcript book, the A4 size on understanding meditation, I teach you how to do. You have to reflect, contemplate, and inquire deep into the truth. Then under the second turning of the first noble truth, what did the Buddha say? This noble truth of dukkha is to be? If this one also you cannot recall, how do you contemplate? The three turning you must be very familiar. First turning is always proclamation of truth. Then after that the Buddha said, this first noble truth of dukkha, prevalence of suffering, is to be understood. So you ask yourself, the first question, inquiry, why did the Buddha say that? Why did the Buddha say it? Now you reflect, contemplate. Why did the Buddha say this noble truth of dukkha, the first noble truth, is to be understood? Anybody want to try? Hey, this is the most simple, isn't it? I better write down. I have no more space. This noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. Why did the Buddha say that? The question is very simple. If I don't understand, you suffer, correct or not? You suffer without knowing that you suffer. Because you don't even know what suffering is. That's why this noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. So it's very easy to pinpoint the answer. Why did the Buddha say that? So the question, the next question is, if I don't understand this first noble truth of dukkha, what will happen to me? I will suffer, and I suffer without knowing why I suffer. That is the worst thing to be, you know, as a human being. Then what is your third question? How can I understand this first noble truth of dukkha? Then what must you do? This inquiry will lead you to inquire further. Why did the Buddha say birth is suffering? Then what you do? Your mind, calm, peaceful, creative, when you are alone in a quiet place or at home, you reflect, birth is suffering. Then, as you reflect, you recollect through memory what birth is, understand not? How you see, especially mother, they will know, how you conceive the baby, how you go through the pregnancy, the morning sickness, how the suffering that arises, how it limits your movement, and even your hormone changes, then morning sickness and all those things. Then a lot of things you want to do, you cannot do. And you have to carry this baby for so long. You have to sacrifice so much. And later on, they kick you. But my wife showed me, feel very good when they kick you. Yes, the baby is alive, understand? Then I still remember he showed me, got one lump on. Your mother, your experience that, when they kick you, really? Oh, at first I thought it was a joke. Oh, you really, that lump come out. And you feel very good, especially the first baby. I talk like I give birth before. Because I was very close to my wife that time. She showed me how to stay. I also curious, I also want to know. Then after that, what happened? The water bag burst. That time, first time, no, don't know, no, top baby come out, no, stupid. Actually, many hours later, a lot of time. So your first time you don't know, oh, you say little baby coming out, but actually water bag burst. But you have to go to the hospital fast. You have to get medical assistance. And because that time I government servant, I was a division A officer, so got private psychiatrist. Gynae at UH there, Dr. Sarah. We went there, Dr. Sarah not around. Then the midwife, oh, they are very experienced. And they delivered my baby. My wife got, have to go through a little bit of incision because for easier birth and so on. Then very small. Then only cost me 9 ringgit, first child. You all go private hospital, you pay through your nose. My second child, 18 ringgit, stay 2 days. 1 day, 9 ringgit. So, actually, government hospital got a lot of advantage. But they used to say, you don't love your wife, you send her to GA. I tell you, the most safe place is GA. When got complication, they cannot handle, they send to GA. That's why you must know where to go, and you must have good karma. Otherwise, when your water bag bursts, you go there. No doctor, no midwife. Who deliver? Trainee deliver. But you are lucky the trainee do a good job. You are not lucky the trainee also panic. So a lot of these things. But what I want you to understand is, birth is suffering is for you to see, in the hospital especially. There are some born premature, say a month. Then there are some born with defects. They call what? The skin become yellow. You call what? Jaundice, then cannot take back the baby. Mother can discharge, put in the incubator. Then got to come and see every day. Then they say, take the baby, go for sunshine. Sometimes go in the room with the light. All this you experienced before, isn't it? Then if there is any complication, what happened? Without Dhamma, the loved one worry, panic. Especially the first few months, the baby cannot talk. The moment they cry, you don't know what to do. You hope they are hungry, you feed. But that time, they cannot eat anything. They need mother's milk. Then you don't have mother's milk. How? That's why now they come out with a special formula. All the various type of baby feed, baby milk. Then you got a lot of other things. Then as you go through life, you realize the first thing that the baby do is, when they are born, they cry. Understand? That's why we birth come suffering. We birth come old age, sickness and death. The whole mess of suffering. That's why dependent on birth, the whole mess of suffering comes to be. So without Dhamma, living beings suffer. So all this, when you reflect, you contemplate, you realize the Buddha's teaching is so beautiful. When things don't go your way, suffering will arise. When the baby have complication, or when the mother has complication, or when the doctor tell you there's a dilemma, you have to decide who you want to save. That is the worst nightmare. The doctor say you have to decide there and then, now. Mother, save the mother or save the child? I tell you, you have to go through that decision. I tell you, you will be really, really afflicted unless you have the Dhamma. You will have a lot of fear. So all this is how you reflect and contemplate. Then as you reflect and contemplate, you recall how the birth process takes place. Then as you hit certain recollection at that time, the understanding will come where you reflect and contemplate with a silent mind. Attentively, you go through. That's how contemplation works. It's like a talented musician or a poet. They will inquire, how can I compose a good music so that people can like it? Or write beautiful poem. They will go to a quiet place, conducive place, where they are creative. Then they throw out this question, how can I come up with a beautiful poem or music? Then within that silence, the nature's vibration, everything, they receive this type of inspiration. Then the creative mind starts to give rise to all this understanding, then they start to write down the music. You know? That's how it come about. So Dhamma contemplation is the same. When you are alone with yourself, quiet place, or when you travel, as you move in the bus, like when we go up Cameron Highland, don't waste your time chit-chatting all the frivolous talk, no use. Silence your mind, reflect. Last time I travel, I do all this contemplation. Then I read the metta, I become very sensitive. Then I reflect on many, many things. In the midst of life and nature, truth is everywhere, why can't I see? Reflect, then it comes. And later on when I came out to share, I just inquire, how can I let living being understand this Dhamma? And then the understanding came. Then I know how to share, because I realize I have to slow down everything, because living being not all are that one, or same one. At first I thought everybody was like me, you know. Speak the Dhamma, you understand really. Because last time without Dhamma also I understand. Then later I realize it's not the Dhamma, the essential Dhamma also not there. A lot of things also they cannot understand the word. So I have to go back to basic. That's why I have to restart all over again, then prepare you to receive truth, then teach you how to reflect, how to contemplate. My teacher just say one sentence, two sentence, finish. After that, I never see them for 1 year, or sometimes many years, 20 years. Then how do I cultivate? Because the moment I listen, I understand, then I put it into practice. Then the essential Dhamma, the beautiful understanding of this, I no need to remember one. It stay my nature. Well, I see the beauty of the words, then I cultivate. Then after that, when I share, I can recall them one. I no need to commit to memory. I didn't even write down as notes. Nothing. But it just come out like that. So coming back to reflection and contemplation. Oh, yeah, another 5 minutes. Okay, I have to finish out here. So after birth, he said, old age, sickness and death. So you have to reflect. So when you are in the midst of suffering, going through a disease or sickness, that is the best time you tell yourself, oh, this is blessing in disguise. That's why you can be at peace. Because this is what the Buddha says, suffering is to be understood. Now I am in the midst of suffering. I will understand what suffering is. Then you see how your mind reject this uncomfortable state, the pain. When you are sick, your mind tend to compare, last time without this sickness, I was so energetic, so beautiful, I can do this, I can do that. All this will make you more and more frustrated. But this is craving. The reality is, you are now here with this type of condition. Why can't you be at peace with it? But this is the reality of the form. Not only you have to go through. The Buddha said this is the reality. Each and every living being, we are born of our karma, add our karma conditions, our karma. We are what we are, because that's why we have to reflect and contemplate. And we are not the only one facing karma. Every living being. So we got 2 choices. That's why I reflect, I understand. First choice is like most deluded people. React, miserable, compare. They're frustrated. Because they're craving. Second is to accept this reality. Because this is the form, like the Buddha said. It's of the nature to grow old, get sick and die. It goes the way of nature, and it's not me. Because without consciousness, it cannot be me. But because this consciousness is trapped inside because of the law of karma, that's how you will experience them. So when I experience this, like the Buddha said, asavak, sabba asavak sutta, defilement that you need to endure, you have to endure, understand? Condition is like that. Before the doctor come, before the medication come, you got 2 choices. React, miserable, or at peace with it, endure, be with it. Then you understand, oh, no wonder the Buddha say, disease is suffering. But if I can accept, come to terms with it and be with it, I'm at peace. There is no suffering. There is no movement of mind. That peace and that silent mind can be at ease with that state. Then you realize, a lot of things are not what you think. The mind that doesn't grabs and cling is always at peace. No matter how the tactile consciousness is, even the so-called pain, the misery and all those things, you have to depend on drug. Means your mind is not strong, but it doesn't mean you cannot take. When there is certain like drug that can make you feel better, less of this very severe type of tactile consciousness experience, they have to rely on it because they are not at that level of cultivation and practice. So even for us, when we have this understanding, we endure until the doctor come and they give you a jab. Then you check. If you can feel better, why not? Medication help. That's why when I'm sick, I also go to doctor. I also take medication. I will never be deluded until, hey, I got this spiritual understanding. Or I meditate, I will heal. You go and do what I don't want to do. Because you got nothing, it's just a physical body. Then as long as I'm aware of what is helping me, then I will take. Then I don't want to be dependent on those medications. When I need it, I take. Like good food condition, I take. But no condition, I won't become afflicted, miserable. I don't go and complain. So a lot of these things you will learn. Like that day, I suppose to come for Thursday class, after I took bath, all of a sudden my left leg, the muscle spasm and all those things, then it gave way. Then I can't even stand up. I depend on my right leg. Then I want to stand up and walk one step also cannot. Then I lie on the bed. That's why I told my wife, I think we have to notify the Kayamita to cancel the class. That's why I sent the thing to Sui An, then to the Thursday class. Then I tell you all not to worry, because I know a lot of people panic over it. Then after that, I told my wife, I remember at the retreat, Wilson whacked so many fellows. Then some of them told me very effective. So I told my wife, call Vincent. Oh, Vincent very good. He said, relative, you give me half an hour, I will come. Actually, he was preparing the oil and all those things. Then he come over, he checked me out. He said, which part is it? Okay, he said, don't worry, lie down. Wow, he whacked me. 1.5 hour per session. And not like that way, non-stop. But good, after that, really good. That's why you have to endure, Then the precept, you have to restrain. That's why I undertake the training rule, not to kill, not to harm. So you have to exercise restraint. I restrain from killing, stealing, deceiving. So all these are the contemplative wisdom that you reflect, you contemplate, and you develop the understanding. So when you are in the midst of suffering, you experience them, you feel them. Then what happens is, after you recover, I tell you, you are so different. You can appreciate life so much after that. Every time I used to tell you all that last time, whenever I got no more problem, I got a lot of joy. Wow, I say this body is beautiful. At this age, still can be like that. Then you feel very good. Then even I got problem or what, I don't like worry about it or what. But that is the reality. So I just be with it silent. Then I do what I have to do. Need to call people to help. Call them. Then after Vincent, Sui An and me phone came. But we take you to see this sensei, all that 75 years old SJBA one, the Dr. Lee, or Mr. Lee. He was very good. He took us to the house. That day was Sunday, I think. Monday. Then surprisingly, after he changed his doctor, he suggested to Sui An, ask Theo to meet him tomorrow, Subang, is it? he only actually came for me alone. And he gave me acupuncture, treated me, and I recovered. And his medication was good. Then after that, another one, Yun Chan recommended. That's how the book came. The Bodhisattva one, the Sun Yen Fasa. So all these fall into place. Then the last one was a Qigong one. So he really, he do the thing, he like vibrate me, I don't feel much, I feel the vibration of it. But my wife told me, Yun Chan told me, that person was sweating like anything, sweating, because he used a lot of chi, he said the heat all built up. Then inside my mind, I rejoice this sadhu. I say, you receive a lot of good chi. Because normally they take negative one. So that's why this one, they tell you to wear your clothing or no. They don't want to touch your body. They should have touched my body. So a lot of things, when you understand, you become different. So contemplation is like that, silent, aware, then inquire, then recollect through the mind. Then you will understand. As you recollect, you go through your life experience. That's why every time when I'm sick, I feel it. I feel what suffering is and all this, how the consciousness actually make your mind, and how living being, like last time before you had the Dhamma, how you become miserable always. Then like, last time you remember when we get sick, especially fever or whatever, where we cannot understand. We just suffer down there. Then we go to the clinic, have to take the card, take the number, wait. Sometimes the queue is half an hour, 45 minutes. Then by the time you reach your turn, funny thing is, if the doctor is good, they touch you, they jab you, you feel good already. After that, you come out, you recover already. But it's the medication also. So a lot of these things you learn, you reflect, you contemplate. You know. Then later on, as you get back your life, in your normal moment when you are without sickness, you are very different. You appreciate life so much. You appreciate that you are without defect, without disease, without problem. Anasana. And that joy, money cannot buy. Anasana. But you know what living beings do? Instead of feel very blessed, very happy, very peaceful, and have this contentment and understanding, they go and worry about life. They go and argue with people and become miserable. They go and do all those funny things in life. There is so much beauty and meaning to life. So much thing that can make you beautiful and be a blessing to all and live life. Instead go and worry about life. Worry over this, worry over that, worry over your health, worry over your finance, your loved one, your whatever, children, grandchildren, your property, your wealth, your car, your whatever thing that you think you hold on to dearly. Sometimes your children in overseas also you go and worry, what are they doing now? Whether they got food to eat or not? Or at night, what are they doing? Whether they go out and do all this. No peace, Thing here, thing there. So heedless, and never with the moment, never silent, aware, be with your nature to experience all the beauty and wonders of life. That's why if you live like that way, then the Buddha say really stupidity, delusion. That's why ignorant. The most dangerous thing in this world is ignorant. It can make you miserable. Your karma will fall. Okay, we better end. 10:40. Okay, we do our sharing of merits, transfer of merits. Then we end. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu lokasasana. Itta watta chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo deo asatu kalena sasa sampati siti vito bhavatu yokocha raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect, mindful, and eternal Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and the worthy ones.
Yeah.